Welcome, Lund Loyalists, to John Lund Unleashed. Those watching on YouTube, on the John Lund Unleashed and Bay Area Sports Collective channels. Viewers on X, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Facebook, and Lundos listening to the podcast on Apple and Spotify. John Lund Unleashed, brought to you by Reappell Sports Medicine. Got pain? Check out our revolutionary stem cell treatments. And guys, if low T is bringing you down, Reappell Sports Medicine can put you back in the game. Now all juiced up and ready to go, here's Johnny.
Episode 128, you see it right there. I had to split the screen. I didn't think anything would take Jimmy the Warriors off of the show cover, but we had to split the screen with George Kittle getting paid $19.1 million a season, four and just over 76. So he doesn't get $20 million, but he gets damn close. And it does make him the highest paid tight end in all of the land. Thank you for joining us. I don't have a beanie on today. Sorry, I threw it on because it was really early in the morning and it was cold and I was outside. And then I forgot to put on a decent hat. So there you go. You're going to have to live with the beanie today. Somebody's going to be like, they gave me grief before. Cold in your house? Kind of is. The studio's a little bit. We keep it a little chilly in here to keep me awake. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. It is episode 128. Thanks for joining us on YouTube, John Lund Unleashed channel. Please make sure you subscribe. Tell all your friends and enemies so that we can grow this lovely community that we have created on YouTube. Hit that like button. Do it right now. Do it right now. How do you know you're gonna like the show? You'll like the show. We have a lot of stuff, and if I don't screw it up with George Kittle and the all the Warriors stuff and videos and pretty pictures and all those kind of things, we'll even throw some Giants in at the end of this whole thing. So please hit the like button on John Lund Unleashed on YouTube. Tell your friends and your enemies. Keep those alerts on because you never know, we're going to jump on like last night after the game and all throughout the day. Bay Area Sports Collective, that's Bay Area Sports Collective, if I could talk. That's where you would find Tom Tolbert, who after I did the post game last night, Tom came on. So you got to know Bay Area Sports Collective. That's where Paulie Mack is. He'll be on at 11 o'clock with, of course, Creative Tony. Rod Brooks is here. There will be more to go, too. So Bay Area Sports Collective, so you don't miss anything. Good morning, good morning, good morning to those watching on X at John Lund Radio. I appreciate you watching. If you would like to migrate over to the YouTube channel, that would be dandy as well. And my friends who are tuning in now on Instagram at John Lund Radio there. We're also on Twitch. We're on LinkedIn for those who are working but not really working. And, of course, Facebook, my personal page, John Lund and John Lund Unleashed. If you join that page, that's a lot. All you have to do to tie it all together, johnlundunleashed.com. Everything Unleashed, johnlundunleashed.com. Shows, archives, podcasts, which Apple, Spotify, you can do those. But all sorts of different things. The blog is there. Social media links, you can buy gear, all sorts of things at johnlundunleashed.com. Before we do some roll call, let's get this thing going in episode 128, Warriors 109, Houston 106. We got a lot of reaction to that win in a Golden State 3-1 lead, which is commanding, but I think game five is very critical. I'll tell you why. Steph Curry, not great last night, certainly by his standards. Pods and Buddy step up, and we did see playoff Jimmy. That's a thing. That 423, as I told you last night, is not a date. That is four in the first half, 23 in the second, including three big free throws and two to seal that thing. They need game five. I'll tell you about that. Could it be the Timberwolves next? 3-1 lead over the Lakers. Kittle becomes the highest tight end, George Kittle. Remember that thing exactly 6 days ago when Diana Rossini came on? And I like her personally, but I don't think she's a very good insider. And she said sources and tried to make you panic and all that kind of stuff. And the reason I got so pissed off about it, and I'll replay it for you. And I've also got George Kittle from the Super Bowl. The reason why it pissed me off so much is I might know a couple of people within the organization, and I heard things were going in a positive direction. And I also heard that George Kittle wasn't staying away because of the contract. George Kittle never comes to these things. The initial ones that are not on field work, unless he's rehabbing the injury like Trent Williams, and they want to see you, or something of that ilk. Christian McCaffrey wouldn't normally come to these. He had, obviously, injuries last year. He came. So then everybody looked at George and said, why isn't George here? George's not hurt. It wasn't. There was no animosity towards the two sides. I knew that. And then so when I saw that whole thing and she's trying to blow smoke and she's calling herself an insider, man, it's frustrating and it's ridiculous. And she probably knows the other 31 teams backwards and forwards a hell of a lot better than I do. And hell, she might have better insights into the 49ers. But for once, I kind of knew that they were dotting I's and crossing T's. And when she came on and tried to freak out, when I knew that George Kittle wasn't staying away because of contract, George Kittle was staying away because George Kittle is got a big old barn in Nashville and didn't need to be here. And they were dotting I's and crossing T's. So why would George come out, then go home, then come out again? He was going to come out to sign a contract. He knew it. So everything was just fine. Thank you very much. So he is now the newest and highest paid tight end in all of the league. We'll get into that conversation. When is Brock? Is Brock next? Let's freak out on that. Everybody talking about the draft of the 49ers. There's still some remnants remain. The offensive line is an issue. What are they going to do there? Could they pick up a veteran? Power ranks, which I don't think much of, but I'll tell you one of the reasons why I think the 49ers are going to do well this year. A couple of things on the Giants. ESPN did this cool thing yesterday. We're not even at the quarter poll, so I don't really acknowledge things to the quarter poll, but they did something fun and catchy, and I clicked on it. So, and it's an insider thing, so why not give it to you? Because you're the sweet, clean viewer, and I'm your friend, and I'm going to give you this if you don't have it through ESPN. They did with each, not each team, but each position, I should say. They had all-star, worth watching, and disappointment. All-star, worth watching, disappointment. So they've got some guys on the Giants that I'll give you that as well. And as always, random things happen throughout the show. If you're new here, that is the bottom of the chalkboard. Random things happen because the roll call, which I'm about ready to take on the comments section, always, if you're over here on YouTube, always, I start going, oh, this and this and this, and then I start talking, and then we're off the rails, and then I try to bring it back, and that's kind of the show in a nutshell. Good morning, top of the morning to you, Hurley Bird. It is great to see you. Fiend, nice to see you. Vernon Skeels, Pine is here today. Kid Icarus 5 is here. Joy, great to see you. Saw Joy last night, I think. All sorts of stuff. Taylor, good morning all to Taylor. Francis, great to see you. Chris, hello, Chris. Mark, I think Mark changed his, you did. You changed that, didn't you? Yeah, because that's what Jimmy did. Nice job, Mark. I like that. Rockin' New Era is here. Great to see you, James. Hello, James. John Harder is here. Hello, John. Nice to meet you. JJ Raider, hello, everyone. Hello back to you. Joe G is here. Pay Brock already. That is up next. Sports Girl for Life. It is great. It's some balance in this room, man. Bunch of guys, a bunch of testosterone, bunch of stinky guys. Big fans, though. Steve is here this morning. Christian, good morning to you, my friend. Let's see what else we got. We got a bunch of people in the room today. Dime is good here. Reporting for booty. Very nice. I like that. Very nice. Let's do this. All right. Good morning. If I did not hit you up, believe me, I will. We got to get to a bunch of stuff. There you go. Oh, by the way, like this, I think you might be new around here, but I love it. Maybe you're not. I think I might have seen you before, Humboldt Fats. Tell me. Good morning, Mr. Lund. I like it. That's a good looking man right there. All right. Let's get things going, man. It is a ton of things that we have to discuss today. Let's start with the words. We will get to Kittle. I got a bunch of good Kittle stuff, so don't go anywhere. If you're here for the Kittle stuff, by the way, if you're watching the show later, we have chapters. So if you go to the show, look below, click on that, and there's chapters. So whatever it is you want to watch, whatever you're into, maybe it's the Warriors, maybe you're like, eh, skip ahead to Kittle. That's fine. Giants at the end. That's fine. Random stuff throughout. You can see it in the chapters when you go over to the YouTube page. So I love that you're watching on any platform that you are. But anything you want to watch, just go over to the chapters on YouTube and you can click on whatever you want, whenever you want. All right, Warriors win at 109 to 106. Couple of observations. And again, in this room, if you're new, I love to get your feedback. You do not have to agree with me. So 109-106, commanding 3-1 series lead by Steph's standards, 6-13, 17 points. That's not very Steph-like, especially in a game like this that I think the percent, like, what's the percentage when you win game 4 up to 1? Like, I don't know. You win the series 90% of the time, 95, 98. I mean, it's just, you know, you win last night, you're going to win the series 3-1. You're up 3-1. You lose it, it's 2-2. And then whoever wins game 5, I think, wins 78% of the time in this series, and they'd be going back home. They'd have momentum. So massive game last night. Absolutely massive game for both teams' seasons. And it comes down to executing at the end. It was kind of a weird game in that the Warriors get out 13-2, then the Rockets have a big run to finish the quarter. Then the Warriors get off to a big run, the Rockets finish the quarter. They're up 57-50, are the Rockets at half. You're disappointed in everything. The Warriors go on an 18-1 run to start the half. They're rocking and rolling. Then to end the third quarter, the Rockets come back. So it's we start hot, you end hot. We start hot, you end hot. That's just, that's kind of how it went for the first three quarters of the game. And then down the stretch, it comes down to who's going to make a play. And the Warriors have Jimmy, and you're waiting for Steph to make that play. Where's that Steph three, right? Where's that Steph three from no, that you're yelling at your TV? No, 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 yes. No, 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 yes. And that's, it never really came, but Pod stepped up, Buddy stepped up. Jimmy was playoff Jimmy. And I don't know what they did at halftime, to be honest. He had 4 points in the half, and he's moving around like an old grandma. I mean, he's like, just not looking good. And so you're thinking to yourself, we're not getting much from Jimmy. I mean, it's a Willis Reed situation. Okay, he's out there, and maybe he's giving us inspiration, but he's not giving us much from a basketball standpoint. Is there going to be a Kuminga sighting? Is there going to be, you know, whatever the case may be? Nope. Jimmy Butler in the second half, absolutely great. Gets fouled, and that was a foul. That was a foul in the corner. You cannot, and I don't know why Dylan Brooks did this. This is just Dylan Brooks doing Dylan Brooks dumb things. Shot clock's running down. Jimmy has to hoist a three. He's not a great three-point shooter. Did hit one earlier in the corner from the other side, but Dylan Brooks puts his hand clearly into the ribs, and that's a foul. Hits all three free throws, and then he seals at the end after a Draymond Green stop. So 109-106, they lead 3-1. In fact, this is from Anthony Slater, who does a tremendous job at The Athletic. This is the final possession with the Warriors up one, and then they get the ball, and Jimmy seals it with a couple of more free throws. But this was the final offensive possession for Houston with the Warriors up 107-106. Draymond Green is a great hype man, and he's had, by his standards, not a very good series. Şengün is a really tough matchup for him. They've done a nice job on the other end of the floor with him, and so his series has not been great. So I get that he was being the cock of the walk, baby, that he was kind of being the, you know, he was roostering around there after that play. Reality is, if you go back and you watch that play, he moved his feet very well. He was in position. He did not jump or contest the shot. He had his arm up, and he did a nice job bodying Şengün a little bit. But that's a shot that Şengün probably makes 75% of the time. He has made it this entire series. I don't know that Draymond did a whole lot on that defensive possession, but he was there, and he moved his feet, and he made it a little bit more difficult than the shot probably was. When he first got the ball and he went deep like that, I was like, uh-oh, he's too deep in the post. And I thought he was going to score. So let Draymond get cock of the walk. It's been a frustrating series, and we'll get into what happened in the second quarter, where Dylan Brooks bodies Steph to the floor. Steph does the, that's your second foul. Steph explains why he did that, because I was thinking, that's not very Steph-like. And the other thing, that the NBA, especially in the playoffs, I know you want to get it right, but it stops all momentum. The home team gets a breath. The home crowd quiets down. I think the 5 minutes that it takes to get a play like that right, and I get it, that's the point of replay, get it right, but 5 minutes breaks the momentum, gets the crowd out of the game a little bit, slows the game down. I think it's a clear advantage for the road team. That was 60 seconds. Steph Curry initiated everything by the two. Dylan Brooks went back at him. Those are, okay, there's your technical fouls. Draymond Green only got a technical foul by reputation, and if you watch the show on any consistent basis, Draymond Green has earned that negative reputation. There's no question. He has earned that negative reputation, but in that case, he was just trying to be a peacemaker, to be honest, but they saw 23 in the middle of that scrum, and they went, oh, that's got to be a technical foul. And the only reason I'm bringing that up, because later on in the game, when Draymond Green and Torrey Eason get into the fracas that they get into a little bit, you could, if you were, again, using Draymond Green's reputation, and Reggie Miller was talking about it, then you would think you were holding your breath, just like I was, thinking Draymond's getting kicked out of this game, because his foot goes up and hits Eason in the head. And even though I didn't think it was intentional in any way, shape, or form, I don't know. I try to think that I'm not biased as I'm watching that, but I thought it was just, he was following through. He was, you know, they were grappling on the floor. In the past, that would be nothing, but it was a technical foul, or it was a flagrant foul on Draymond Green. He already had a technical foul. And Reggie Miller, those are two separate things and don't get you kicked out of the game. I said this last night in the postgame, I think your commentator should probably know that. Shaq and and Charles don't have to know those things in the studio. Shaq didn't know how to pronounce Podziemski's name. I mean, Podziemski's good enough and the Warriors are high profile enough, Shaq, that you should probably know that. But okay, I get it. It's an entertainment show and I'm a big fan of it, but you should probably know how to say Podziemski. And Reggie Miller should probably know that a technical foul and a flagrant foul combined will not get you kicked out of a basketball game. But okay, I digress. There was a moment that you were holding your breath down the stretch going, uh-oh, Draymond could easily get kicked out of this game and they could call something and kick him out because of reputation. They didn't. Therefore, Draymond was on the floor and he, in some way, shape, or form, altered that shot at the end. It's not like he blocked it. It's not like he really even contested it, but he was there. And I'd rather have him in there than, I don't know, Quentin Post in that situation. Maybe Looney probably, to be honest, Looney probably would have been in there in that situation, and I trust him. But bottom line to the whole thing is the Warriors get the thing done. Let me pop up the box score a little bit, then I'm going to get your thoughts on this. What do you think, A, of the game last night? B, give me some Jimmy love. What do you think? And Pods and Buddy stepping it up in this whole thing. And the other question, I had this throughout last night's game. Do you think they get it done in five? And I'll tell you why it's so important to me that they do. So there's your box from last night. I mean, you know what Şengün can do in 31. By the way, in his two highest scoring games, they've lost them both. 26 in game one for Şengün, 31 in game four, and they lose them both. Amen Thompson was actually the most surprising player, especially offensively. 17 points, 9 boards, but they kept him to only one, and they did a nice job last night in keeping the Rockets off the offensive glass. They rebounded like they normally do, but the Warriors actually had more second-chance points than the Rockets. Şengün is just really tough to deal with. But again, 28 shots to get the 31 points, 12 of 28 for Şengün. 1 of 7 from three. He's not a three guy. The big guy was Fred VanVleet all night long. Lionel Richie all night long. He hits 8 threes, 8 of 13, 8 of 12. And a couple of times, and I got to imagine Steve Kerr told these guys behind the scenes, you can't leave the hottest guy in the court. The design is, for the Warriors defense, clearly is, it's not that they're letting Şengün score 31 points in a game. They're just saying, look, when Draymond's in the game, we're going to single him. That's just the way it's going to go. And I think in general, they just want to single Şengün and not let other players get going. Fred VanVleet just got going. And in fact, I thought on that last play, and I'm screaming at my TV just like you, you're up three. You foul. Now, you don't want to foul, and then they're going to get a 4-point. And they could possibly win the game. I understand that, and there's a fine line there. And Steve Kerr just doesn't do that. But as he rose up on the baseline for that, as hot as he had been in that game, I was thinking that's probably going in and we're going to overtime. And it grazes the net. At first, I thought, did that go through? No, it was short, but still, it scared the hell out of you. So Fred VanVleet was great last night. Şengün was great last night. To put VanVleet's game into perspective, he had 1 3-point make going into game four last night. One in the series. In the series. I don't know what's going on with Jalen Green. It's the whole reason I picked the Warriors in six originally, because you don't know how young players are going to react to the playoffs. Green had, 7 in the first game, 38 in the second game, and then he pulls off, I think it was 9, and then now 8 in this game. And the thing that tells you that, and I use this word all the time with coaches in the playoffs, trust, trust, trust. Can I trust you? He didn't play from 5 minutes in, Jalen Green, and they had that last possession that we just saw, Draymond Green on Şengün. He's not on the floor. Your leading scorer during the season at over 21 points per game is not in the game. That's just youth. He's just not playing well in this series. He hasn't been in the playoffs before, where Şengün is just going, I'm going to take this thing. And Thompson last night is obviously warmed up to the playoffs. Jalen Green, complete zero last night. Steven Adams is a problem. Torrey Eason can be a problem. He wasn't necessarily a lot last night. And then a really smart thing, give Steve Kerr a credit for two things he did last night. And this is a Warriors thing, but he's the head coach, so he gets the credit. Buddy Hield starting his second solid game in a row. The moment just kind of looks too big for Moody right now, and he doesn't fit really the athletic profile of taking on some of these Rockets like Amen Thompson. He's not physical enough for Dylan Brooks. Obviously, Şengün, you know, Jalen Green. He can play in this series. I'm not saying he can't. But with Buddy's offense, what that does spreading the floor for the Warriors to have Hield, Podziemski, and the way Podziemski was hitting shots last night, and Curry, that's huge for these guys. And that's why Kuminga's not playing, because you got to have floor spacers on the offensive end of the floor. Now Buddy can kill you on the defensive end, and that becomes a problem, and that's where you may have to make up for things. But his shot was good enough last night that he was good enough on the offensive end of the floor to offset defensive inefficiencies that he had. So as far as the Warriors are concerned, when you're getting 15 out of Buddy and 26 out of Heald, out of Pajemski, you're getting 41 points out of Heald and Pajemski. Absolutely great. And it seemed like every time you turned around, it's not just the 9 of 18, 6 of 11 from Pajemski. He was just making a play all night long, whether it be, you know, taking a charge, you know, driving to the hoop, kicking it, whatever it was. He just, you know, grabbing a board. Pajemski was phenomenal last night. And if this was hockey, star one would be Butler, star two would be Pajemski, and probably star three would be, I don't know, between Shengun and Van Fleet. They'd have to share it. Can't have four stars, though. But great guy stepping up last night. Curry, 6 of 13. He's going to have that night, 17 points. A lot of athletes on the Rocket side. As always, they're trying to body him and be tough with him and grab and do all those kind of things, and they did. And so Steph had a rough night, and they had other guys step up. And as I said, if you'd have told me at halftime when Jimmy Butler had 4 points and he'd finish with 27, I'd be like, you're way high. You are extremely high. Quentin Post had 12 of his 13 in the first half. Didn't give much. And then as we go down to the bottom, like I said there, you look at the second chance points. Warriors 21, Rockets 14. They were plus 7 on second chance points. So you get that kind of a situation, where the Rockets going to make it up? Plus the other thing, look at the Rockets missed free throws. 11 of 23. They lost a three-point game in which they missed 12 free throws. They shot 47.8%. I mean, you're kidding me? Excuse me, 19 of 31. I'm looking at three-pointers. They shot 19 of 31. So still 61.3% from the Rockets, and they missed 12 free throws. 12. So it still stands. They missed 12 threes. They missed 12 free throws. They're just, if you're not getting the second chance points, you're Houston, you're not getting the second chance points, you're minus 7 in second chance points. And you're number one in the league normally in that stat. And then you go 19 of 31 from the free throw line. I mean, look at some of these guys. Shengun was good. He was, you know, 7 out of 10. But look at all these other guys. Just misses, you know, left and right. And that was a huge factor in the game last night. So there is your box score, 109-106. And the Warriors take a huge 3-1 lead. Now, the reason I say, and so here we are, Golden State 3-1, Pods and Buddy, we talked about, playoff Jimmy, 4 points, and then 23. We're at need game 5. The reason I'm putting need, and I don't know, use whatever term you want. It's not must win because you've got a few after this. Would I so much say it's critical? Well, how far do you want to go in the playoffs? Do you want to beat Minnesota? Do you want to potentially, you know, do you want to play Oklahoma City? Do you want to play, or the Clippers? Or you want to get to the, I should say, do you want to get to the conference finals? Do you want to keep going in the playoffs? Because for an older basketball team, and Steve Kerr said this again and again and again, and in fact, Kerr said it before the series even started when he was talking specifically about Draymond Green. Draymond Green's going to have to face size and play the five the entire playoffs. That's just the way it's going to be because they play Minnesota next, who's up 3-1 on the Lakers. It's not that Rudy Gobert has the offensive skill that Shengun has. He doesn't. But they're going to crash the offensive glass. They're going to make things tough on him. Naz Reid is really good. So Gobert and Reid couldn't be more different of players. Reid's going to be on the outside shooting threes. Gobert's just going to be a garbage man inside and maybe be in the dunker position a little bit. He's not going to score a ton of points. And they're going to probably make it so that he's out of the game anyway because his drop coverage is going to shoot threes. And hell, even Jimmy's mid-range, he just doesn't come out. So Minnesota's really good. They're physical. Anthony Edwards, anytime he's on the other team, he can crush you. He can score 40 at any given point. But he's still going to have to deal with some size in that Reed's a 6'10 guy, totally different than what Gobert brings to the table. But still, there's going to be size to have to be dealt with, and he's going to be a 5 in that series. You could get some more Quentin Post potentially, especially when Naz Reid is on the floor. We'll see. But he's going to have to play that position. And then if you were to get by Minnesota, which is going to be extremely difficult, then if you play Oklahoma City, they got a bunch of perimeter guys, but they have Chet Holmgren. If it's the Clippers, and I think the Clippers are going to get by the Nuggets. If it's the Nuggets, then it's Jokic, duh. If it's the Clippers, then they've had success. Zubats has played well against the Warriors. So there's going to be size, and more size. So the whole point is that they've got to get rest for Draymond Green. He's struggled in this series. He looks pretty gassed, and they got to get him off his feet. Same thing with Steph Curry, older team. Same thing with Jimmy Butler. That might be the most important at the age 35. He had the one, I'm trying to think, was that in the third or the fourth quarter? I should know this off the top of my head, where he took the real hard fall to the ground and he kind of got up gingerly. That thing is going to be hurting today. Like Jimmy right now, what time is it? 8:39. right? Jimmy's going to be in treatment like all day. He's going to be in some contraption, some kind of a thing. He's going to be locked into something. I don't know, whatever they're going to call it. But Jimmy Butler is going to be in a contraption, or there's going to be therapists. There's going to be massage therapists. There's going to be, I mean, that thing today is barking. That thing is barking on him today. So to me, need game five. I don't know, critical. It's not must win, but I would say it's critical. Not to win this series. They're going to win this series. Duh. They're up 3-1. Look, I like what the Rockets are doing with that team, and they're going to have a year under their belt, and they're going to be better next year, and they're going to be scarier, and they have a guy like Reed Shepard on their bench, who was the third overall pick from Kentucky, who I think is a really good sharpshooter. I like their head coach. I like what they're about. I like their toughness, all those kind of things. I'm not here to throw a bunch of accolades at the Rockets, but that's a good young team. I don't know how long they keep a guy like Dylan Brooks around. Steven Adams is a nice piece off the bench. I'd keep adding veteran guys if I were them, Van Fleet, et cetera, et cetera. But they've got a nice core, and they're going to be around for a while. And now they're getting some playoff experience. So that's scary what they are able to do. But I think that they are just kind of starting on their journey. And I think the Warriors will win this, if not in five, then in six back home. But I think any rest you can get, the more rest, the better, especially for Jimmy, especially for Draymond, especially for Steph. Get the Ghost guys off their feet, rehabbing some injuries in the case of Jimmy Butler. And that will determine how far the Warriors go. If they choke this lead away, and we're talking about a game seven back in Houston. And that's the thing too, is Steve has got to get across to his guys, even though they're veterans. Real simple here, guys. You lose in Houston. They've got momentum. Now it's 3-2. If they somehow steal a game here and they've played well, just not well enough here. But if they somehow steal a game, all of a sudden it's 3-3 and all bets are off in a game seven, and it's in their gym. It's in their place. It's at their house. So if I'm Steve Kerr, you can't treat it like it's a game seven and play Steph 45 minutes, but you get across to these guys that we don't have any margin for error here. I know it's human nature. I get it that you guys are veterans, but the Warriors before have done this, like just thrown their shoes in the gym and said, we got these guys. It's not that way. Houston's not going to go away. So it's a huge game to me because it's going to determine how far they go, because every day you can get of rest and especially rest that you're not supposed to get, that's going to be better for the Warriors, especially with Jimmy's injury, Draymond having to play the five, Steph is Steph. He's constant movement throughout a game. These guys got to get off their feet. I mean, that's just what it comes down to. So that's where I'm at game five, Timberwolves next. We talked about that a little bit. We'll get to Kittle in a minute. Before I get out to the chat and see what you're all saying about the Warriors. So a couple of things I came across. I was looking for, this is going to stay Warriors, but stay with me for a second. So I was looking for a George Kittle cut from the Super Bowl, and I went back into my archives and found it. But along the way, so right around the time, you know, it was Super Bowl time in New Orleans, was the time that the Warriors traded for Jimmy Butler. So I'm going to take you back, and not so much a way back machine, but we're going back to early February here. Right, we're almost to May, so we're looking at 3 months and the impact of Jimmy Butler. Now, obviously, last night they don't win without playoff Jimmy, 23 in the second half. They don't. There's a lot of these games. I didn't even think, by the way, let's just back it up even further. They're not even in this position. They're a 9-10 play-in team. They were 500. I think they were 25 and 26, actually, when they got Jimmy. Probably losing the play-in. Certainly aren't in this position. They probably where Memphis is, and Memphis is already gone fishing. They're in Cancun, wherever you want to be, as far as your vacation is concerned. So this is I was trying to find a Steph one because he was so depressed before they made these trades. But here's Draymond Green the day before the trade deadline, the day before they got Jimmy, and they were asking all the Warriors, hey, man, you guys are like 25 and 26. What's going on, man? What kind of trade can the front office make? So here's Draymond. This is before the trade deadline, a day before the trade deadline.
500. You know, you got to expect that they're going to look to be aggressive, you know. It's not an organization that's going to do anything dumb, but they're going to look to be aggressive, and I understand it. I respect it. So, yes, when you're sitting at 500 and you have the expectations as an organization that we have, it's definitely going to be a little more intense. And then you add into the fold of, like, Luka Doncic just got traded, so everyone thinks everything's possible at this point, right? If you saw that, and you didn't call every superstar, you're crazy. Like, that's just the reality, right? So, you know, take all those things into account. De'Aaron Fox got traded. You take all those things into account. You bet your bottom dollar is tense, but it should be. This ain't some organization that's just looking to be around 500. We want to compete, so it's definitely a little more tense than normal.
Y'all either, right?
Yeah, you don't win as much as we have if those ambitions don't align. Mm-hmm. You know? So they definitely align. We want to compete, and it hasn't gone quite the way we thought it would go. But in saying that, yeah, and still feel very comfortable.
So 25-26, that's early February. That's like February 5th, I think it was. So it's almost 3 months. I mean, not to the day. What are we on, the 29th? So we're almost to May. So let's just, we'll call it around 90 days, a little bit less, 85 days, whatever it is. So that was the vibe around the Warriors about 85 days ago. It's not that long ago. And all of a sudden you bring in Jimmy Butler and he scores 23 in the second half, even though you know he's banged up. They wouldn't be in this position without Jimmy. Even if it, and maybe I'm wrong in this thought. Durant may be healthy, maybe hurt. I don't know what his whole situation is, but Jimmy's just brought this lightness and vibe and perfect fit. It's like a puzzle piece, both on the court, off the court. He's having fun with Buddy Hield, and Hield's playing a little bit better. I don't know if Hield's playing this way. If Jimmy Butler's not around, Butler's inside, Curry's outside. And I know that Pods and Buddy last night were the outside, and it wasn't as much stuff, but just generally speaking, this was a 25-26 basketball team. There's no way they're in this series against the Rockets without Jimmy Butler. And they're desperately trying to make this move. And just to take you back, because I was told this and I've told you this before, he was going to Phoenix. He didn't want anything to do with the Bay Area because the Phoenix and Matt Ishbia, their owner, offered the contract extension and Jimmy said, good. And then Bradley Beal, who you should be sending a thank you card, said, I'm not going to Miami. Not happening. He has a no trade clause. He and LeBron James are the only two that have him in the NBA. And he just said, I'm not going. Not happening. Try again. And that's when we added out, we heard the word that Jimmy Butler wasn't coming to Golden State. It wasn't that, again, they had agreed. So the Suns agreed to the extension, couldn't get the deal done. Warriors had the deal done, said no to the extension. And finally, Joe Lacob says, if we want to go anywhere, we're going to have to get this guy. Even Joe Lacob, even you, even me, even Steph, even Dre, anybody around the Warriors could not have predicted the fit would have been this good. And for people who have called me out before, and I'll 100% say this, I say 1,000 things every single show, and we do 6 shows a week. I'm not always going to be right. Most times I'm going to be wrong. But in this case, I was like, I don't want a malcontent like Jimmy. I wrote about it at johnlundunleashed.com. I'm like, if this is going to be the Jimmy Butler they get, and this is the only caveat I'll say, if this is the Jimmy Butler they're going to get, the pouting, whining, I want out, I want my extension, and he tanked the whole season for that team to get out of there. I didn't want anything to do with that guy. Now, the guy that's come here has been the polar opposite of that guy. And I had some cuts and I didn't play it for you, but his introductory press conference, I went back and watched that a little bit today. But just think about where this team is right now. I don't know that they can win a championship. Not sure they can get by Oklahoma City or the Clippers. I think that side of the bracket's really hard. Denver, I think they can probably get by Denver now. Denver doesn't look great, even though Aaron Gordon that played the other night. I think the Clippers are going to win that series. I could be wrong. But Clippers, Denver, OKC, that's really tough. I think the Lakers have major problems. I've told you this before. I think LeBron's getting traded in the offseason. We'll see, because they're going to back Luka on that whole thing. The Timberwolves are underrated. They made it to the conference finals against Dallas last year, so I guess we shouldn't be shocked by this whole thing. But then again, they had Karl Anthony Towns, and I thought that was a big deal for Julius Randle. But they're playing good basketball, and as we've said, and you know, Anthony Edwards is amazing, and he can throw 40 on you at any point, and he can carry a team, and he's done that. So Minnesota is nothing to laugh at. And so it's going to be tough, but I think they could beat Minnesota. I don't mind that matchup. Oklahoma City, probably too tough. But the very fact that you and I are together right now at 8:48 on Tuesday, April 29th, and talking about the Warriors as a potential contender in the West, I don't know that they could beat Cleveland or Boston too. There's some really good teams out there. So I don't know that they can win an NBA championship. I think in the offseason, they'll take Kuminga and try to get a stretch big who can also defend and rebound a little bit. That's really, really hard to find, but I think they'll try to do that. So I think that they still have needs. But Jimmy Butler fitting with the way that they fit so far, absolutely, unbelievably amazing. And a great trade by Joe Lacob, a great trade by the Warriors. They'd be dead in the water without him. And we saw another reason why last night. So that's why I wanted to play the Draymond Green that I found. And again, it's because I was looking for something for Kittle that I'll play for you in a second, but just amazing. All right, let's go through everything from last night, 109-106. Here's Steph, that little fracas, a little dust up in the second quarter. Here's Steph's view on it.
So, I mean, it's like, you know, siblings.
Haunting a sign of you turning over a new leaf.
What up, Marcus?
A villain.
I'm not going. Last I am, actually. That was so stupid because he had did it literally the play before, and I just returned the favor, but they didn't see him. They saw me. It's like, you know, siblings, the second one's going to get in trouble. So that was me.
All right, so that's what happened with Steph Curry. So, because I was wondering, I'm thinking to myself, why are you doing that? Because let's be all be honest, okay? Let's take off our blue and yellow glasses for a second here. Steph initiated that whole thing with that gesture to Brooks, and Brooks, of course, is Dylan Brooks, and he reacted to it and tried to get the ball, and then the whole thing blew up. But as Steph pointed out, Brooks had done that earlier. He retaliates in that situation, and then everything broke out. It should have been on Curry, on Brooks. It should have taken less than 60 seconds. It's modern technology, everybody. Meanwhile, I sucked down 6 beers and had a sandwich. I mean, it's like, come on, man. Breaking the momentum of the game, giving, I think, the opposition, you know, the crowd settles down. I don't like any of that. I think it should be done. And I miss Jeff Van Gundy in this way because Van Gundy would have been going crazy on it. But as a commentator, that should take 60 seconds. Steph initiated it. Brooks went back at him. That's it. Draymond Green was playing peacemaker. Draymond Green didn't do anything wrong, and yet he got a technical foul because he's Draymond Green. And I'll defend till the end of time the officials against Draymond Green barking at him constantly. But in that one case, his reputation 100%, not 99%, not 98, not 97, not 94, not 89, not 78, 100% got him that technical foul. And then later on in the game, when he got the flagrant foul, Reggie Miller, not the same thing, not going to get kicked out. When he got the flagrant later, we were all going, don't kick him out. You can't kick him out because he shouldn't have got that first technical foul. So anyway, there's what's going on there. And here's Jimmy Butler. This is a great question by Monty Poole. He's like, you know, is it kind of fun going back and forth with Dylan Brooks? And Jimmy ain't playing that game. Here's Jimmy Butler.
It looked like you guys were having fun. I took it back to the playground almost, it looked like. What was it like out there? And it looked like you guys were like going back and forth. Did you enjoy that element of the game?
No, we're not having fun. Give me a break for this. I don't like Dylan Brooks. So we're never having fun. I'm a fierce competitor. He's a fierce competitor. But there ain't nothing fun about that.
They just love Jimmy Butler, man. I'm trying to decide. Like, he's not Draymond Green. Like, when he came over here, I'm thinking, are those two going to clash? He is. He's a fierce competitor, yet somehow he doesn't ever seem out of control. And for Draymond Green, he is a fierce competitor and at times can be out of control and at times can be just outright stupid, even though he's a veteran and very, very smart. And you're just looking at yourself like, dude, man, you're too old to be acting like a child. You're too old to be barking constantly. Like, I don't know how Jimmy Butler does it with officials. I'm sure he goes to him and tells him and talks to him, but it seems like he has this like governor on his speed and on his dial, and it doesn't ever redline. Like, but he's a super competitor. So when Draymond Green says, I have to play this way. Like, Draymond was asked after the game, hey, did you have to be careful after that first technical? And Draymond said, no, because I might as well just sit my butt on the bench if I can't play a certain way. Whether he realizes it or not, and he does, but he's just trying to keep this facade up. He has dialed it back. He's dialed it back this entire season. He dials it back when he doesn't like calls. I don't know if that's Jimmy Butler's effect, but he's pulled it back. And I give him a ton of credit for that because he hasn't always walked the line, Johnny Cash. He always hasn't walked it. He always says that he has, but he always hasn't. But in this particular case, he did. In the season he did, it would have been a shame if he had been thrown out. I'm not going to give Jimmy Butler any kind of credit like that, but Jimmy Butler can be the white, hot, intense competitor that he is and keep things calm. That's the guy that always scares you in a fight too. You know, the guy that's calm in the fight, who's just kind of sitting there, and that's Kawhi, reminds me of Kawhi Leonard, and Jimmy Butler's not Kawhi Leonard, but where it's just like, he's not freaking out. He's just being matter of fact about everything. And then there's the guy that's freaking out. And I'm not really afraid of the guy that's freaking out. I mean, it's weird, but it's always the guy who's kind of calm, collected, and he's got his thoughts about him. And that's how I look at Jimmy Butler. Look, I'm sure, again, in the locker room, he is keeping people accountable. I'm sure in timeouts, he's keeping people accountable. He's a veteran. He's respected, but he doesn't redline. He does not redline. He's not quite Steph Curry is almost too much. Jimmy's probably in the middle, and then Draymond's up here. And I think that Jimmy has had an effect. Like, you don't have to freak out, man. You know, I can't think of a time that an official's gone to break and then the call got reversed because the guy bitched and moaned. Like Draymond beelines right to the official and we go to break. You know, the Warriors lead it 76-68 with 3:22 left in the third quarter. We're back after this. And then Draymond is, as we're going to break, he's beelining to the official. And we don't come back. Hey, you know, they called that foul on Draymond Green, but now we're back from break and they've reversed that call. And Draymond Green is not going to be assessed a foul. And it's like that now. Oh, I see your point, Draymond. That's a great one. Like just constant at the officials, constant. And he's not as bad. It's good. All right. Let me get your thoughts on it. And then we'll move on to a big story today. I thought that, you know, the Warriors are worth the first 40 minutes of the show. There's no doubt. But again, George Kittle's been signed. And if you're watching the show a little bit later, we have the chapters up and you can click right to George Kittle if that's what you want to get into. But the Warriors getting a 3-1 lead, having a big game five in which I think it's very critical that they win so that they can get their rest. That's what I'm thinking. All right. What are people thinking here? Let's see. Yeah, Luka. They're going to trade LeBron. I don't know. I could be wrong. They're not going to keep him. We're talking casinos. Give me more. Give me more. I was in the, you know, I didn't do a lot of betting this weekend. I went zero for the weekend as far as sports bets were concerned. I can tell you that right now. It was not good. The Nutter. Good to see the Nutter in here. Very nice to see you. The refs need to target Brooks as much as they do Draymond. I would agree 100%. Brooks early on, and I think it was Harlan who said it, said that Brooks was going to, you know, he's going to tone down his stuff. He hasn't been toned down. He just doesn't. Let's put it this way. When Dylan Brooks is on your team, you know what you are. You might be a playoff team, but you're not going to go much further than that. He's just, he'll hit a shot here and there. He's a fake tough guy. It's just, his act is old. I mean, Jimmy Butler just said what he said in a matter of fact fashion. It's not like he's worried about what Dylan Brooks is going to do. He's just like, look, I don't like Dylan Brooks. No, he did give him a compliment. He said, he's a hard competitor. I'm a hard competitor. But I don't have a whole lot of that. Kuminga and some draft picks. Could you imagine Şengün? That would change things. I mean, you know, you got Jimmy, you got Şengün. Şengün's in the middle. I mean, can you imagine what that would open up for Curry? They're not going to move Şengün, but yeah, I think Kuminga can bring something back. I think there's a team out there, a desperate team out there that says, you know, this guy is a young player. It's not going to surprise me when Kuminga is traded in this offseason, because the Warriors aren't going to give him the big contract. Whoever does is going to be a lower level, desperate basketball team, and they want to get talent on the roster. And they probably had Kuminga very highly rated when he came out. They love the athletic profile, and they're gonna give up something for Kuminga. And you probably on the surface will say that it's not enough. That will be my prediction. That we'll all look at it and we'll go, well, that's not enough. But it's not about matching talent for talent, athleticism for athleticism. It's about fit. Jimmy Butler is a fit. Go find the Jimmy Butler. I know this is difficult, but go find the Jimmy Butler of stretch threes who can also play some defense and rebound. I don't even know if that person exists, but that's what it's going to be. It's going to be an older player that is on the same timeline as the rest of the Warriors, who's an established veteran who can defend, be tough. That's what they need. They need to add some toughness, rebounding. And oh, by the way, could you hit a three every once in a while? You know, a Bobby Portis type. And you're going to go, well, that doesn't make sense. He's not as good. He doesn't have as much upside. He doesn't. But it is glaring this team if they don't win a championship. And I don't think they will. And this is a really fun ride. And this has been a really cool season since Jimmy got here. I just think they're missing that element in a Western Conference that's pretty big and tough and rugged. And it's probably going to rear its ugly head, even though Draymond's doing a nice job at the five. I think he's tired out. Looney can come in at times. Quentin Post will give you the offense like he did in the first half, but didn't in the second half. So what would you say you do here if you're not hitting shots? Trayce Jackson-Davis looked like he was rusty. That's just what it is. He's not playing, and you can practice all you want. You can be on the bike, and you can do stuff before the game and after the game and all that kind of stuff. It does not prepare you for playoff intensity. And things were just going a little too fast for Trayce Jackson-Davis last night. So he's not going to give you a whole lot because you're going to try to stick him in the middle of the playoffs when it's this intense and it just goes like this as the series keep going. So he's probably not going to give you a whole lot. Gives you size and he'll give you a couple of fouls, but it's not fair to say, let's just stick him right in the middle of it and then expect him to play at a really high level. It's just hard. Greek Freak would be great. You got to give up a lot. You're not getting Greek Freak for Kuminga as the major part going the other way. Plus you got to match salaries. Best of luck, but they'll find somebody. I feel good about it. Luka is strong in the flop game. He is. Him and LeBron are just twins in that regard. So, yeah, I would say so. By the way, if I haven't said hello to Aaron and 49ers Faithful, it is good to see you today. If I have not seen you, like I said, good to see the Nutter in here today. Just making sure, Joe, I don't know if I said hello to you today. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Tribe, good morning to you, my friend. Very cool. We've used about the first 45 minutes to go in on the Warriors. Huge win last night, 109-106. We've gone through it. Pods and Buddy, playoff Jimmy, 4 in the first half, 23 in the second half. I think they need game 5. T-Wolves next. They're up 3-1 in their series, and I don't see LeBron and Luka getting off the mat in that one. All right, let's get to George Kittle, the highest paid tight end in the league. In fact, let me show you a fun graphic right here. Let's see, where is it? Right here. Okay, two things for you. A, there's the official signing. So if you're thinking, where's this coming from? Is this some freaking insider? What's going on here? That is the official email that I got this morning in my box. The San Francisco 49ers announced they have signed all pro tight end George Kittle, 4-year contracts through 2029. And then John Lynch has a nice quote, blah, 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 whatever. 4 years, $76 million, 19.1 per season. Did I not put the contract up here? I didn't. Unless I put it down here, I didn't. All right, I had it. Let me see. Did I? Oh, you know what? I did do it. But I'm going to share my screen with you. Here's what it looks like. Again, just to kind of, this is the guys at Over the Cap who do a really nice job of this stuff. It's not all official there, but that's it. There you go. There's the contract itself. 4 years, $76 million, 19.1 per year. $40 million. That'd be nice to get that check. And he did. I saw pen to paper today. So that means George Kittle's going home to Tennessee with $40 million large. Average salary of 19.1, 2025 will earn a base salary of 14.4 and a workout bonus of 100,000, cap hit of $22 million. All right. So this is what's important about George Kittle. He made about $12 million last year. He's going to make $14 million this year. His cap stays about the same, though, at about $22 million, but it'll go down after that point. They've only got the first year up there, and then they'll go from there. But again, 14.4 base, restructure, all that kind of stuff. So it is official. It is official. George Kittle is staying with the 49ers. Your question after that is Brock next. We'll get to that in just a second because there's a few things I want to hit up here on George Kittle. So if you want to hit up on some George Kittle talk, we can do that. Here first is the 49ers. This is actually, you know what? Let me go backwards and then I'm going to show you that last because that's kind of like a grand finale. All right. So I played this for you. This is in New Orleans at the Super Bowl. This is on the Kay Adams show on Media Row at the Super Bowl. And she's like, what's going on with your contract? George has his pizza shirt on. It looks ever so nice on him. Here is George talking about wanting to get a deal done with the 49ers with Kay Adams. This is Super Bowl week.
Want to clip this off and send it directly to John Lynch?
Or... John Lynch, Jed York, Kyle Shanahan, all of them.
Bueller, when is this happening? You're entering the last year of your contract.
I am.
I know you want to retire as a Niner, yes?
I would love to.
What's happening? Pizza.
Pizza's happening, Kay. Waiting on them.
There's no talking yet?
No, I think there's been talking. I think, we're mild down the same page.
What are we waiting for?
I have no idea.
All right, so that's about the same time, and that's why I found that Draymond Green cut pre-trade deadline is because I was looking for that cut in my archives from George Kittle, Super Bowl week. So at that point, he's saying no substantial talks. Again, same timeline as Draymond Green there. They were right next to each other on my timeline as far as finding that stuff. So about the same time, around February 5th, February 6th, whatever the case may be, there's George Kittle with Kay Adams saying, yeah, I'd love to get a deal done. And waiting on them is essentially what he said. They got a deal done. Makes him the highest paid tight end in the league. He's very happy. So then last week, I hate to bring this up again, but I just want to reiterate these things that you hear from NFL insiders and you don't know where the stuff is coming from. And George Kittle last week, and this just pissed me off. This is like 5 days ago. George Kittle says to her publicly, your sources are wrong. I was told he wasn't staying away from, and they're not even OTAs. These are just that first version of last week was just check-ins. How you guys doing? Is everybody okay? And guys like George Kittle and Christian McCaffrey and Trent Williams and Nick Bosa, they don't have to show up unless they're coming off an injury. Because they know all those guys, they're veteran players who work out a certain way. Trent's in Oklahoma. McCaffrey's in a number of different places, but he's working out. He keeps himself in amazing shape. George Kittle's in Nashville. Nick Bosa's down with Joey in Florida. Like, the team knows that they can trust him. They're not out partying. They're not out drinking. They're not in Cabo. They're not doing any of those things. And if they don't, if they're not rehabbing injury, they don't have to show up because there's no on-field work. It's just check-in. How's the injuries? How you doing? How's the family? See you later. That's what it is for veterans. They don't need to be on the field. They're not going to be on the field. They don't need to show up. George Kittle hasn't showed up at this portion of the offseason for years. But Diana Rossini did not go in on that. So we were hearing, certain people were hearing, that they were getting close. They were dotting I's, crossing T's. And she came out with this 5 days ago, and this is what pissed me off. And it's not her, and I'm not going in on her. What I'm saying is that you just can't believe everything, and then everything gets thrown out. And so there's this big deal that George Kittle's holding out and not coming to camp, and that just wasn't the case.
Negotiation. We know that Kittle wasn't there for OTAs, and from what I was told, it has to do with this contract. He wants to be the highest paid tight end in the NFL, I was told. In fact, many around the league know about this, that he wants to make about $20 million a year. Ooh. So, Chase, I reported that today, and Kittle, who's one of the nicest people in football, responded that my sources were wrong, right? So that was one of those situations where I immediately had to go dig on it then, like, wait. Did someone give me bad info? And there was just so many people sharing about this that I knew it wasn't wrong.
Okay. So she continues on. And even though she got a rebuttal from him that said, your source is wrong, and a lot of people inside knew that they were dotting I's and crossing T's, she checked with more sources that weren't George Kittle, and still insisted that her sources are right and Kittle was being away and all these kind of things, when the reality was, they were getting close on a deal. That was just 6 days ago. It was dated on April 23rd from George Kittle, so less than a week ago. I shouldn't really care about these things, to be honest with you, but like I said, people take this as gospel, and then what happens is that George Kittle, who's trying to be nice to say your sources are incorrect, and the only reason I said this and I tweeted this out a little bit later is you wonder why athletes just want to cut out the middleman in the media a lot of times. It's because any small bit, George Kittle's a big timer. George Kittle's high profile. The Niners are a high profile team, regardless of what people say. They talk about him all the time. So the shows go crazy. And there's George Kittle getting a bunch of texts from people going, what's going on? You holding out, dude? What's happening? You know, teammates, friends, people around the NFL. What's going on with you, dude? And all he did was just send one thing out that said, your sources are incorrect. And then that should have been it. But then she went and dug more of sources that weren't George Kittle to say, nope, my sources are correct. No, they're not. He just said they're not, and he's the source. Anyway, I shouldn't care. All right, deal gets done. 19.1, so he didn't get the 20. He got 19.1, but he's the highest paid tight end. Beats out Trey McBride of the Cardinals. Now, this is the cool part. This is from the 49ers video team. They put this together. This was yesterday, George officially putting pen to paper and getting the big fat check.
All right, you good?
Yeah. Hi. Pretty happy. Why not? Third contract, same football team, great foundation, great organization. Pinch myself right now. Happy to be here. Oh, you have John's name on it. You might not get this, John. You might not get this one back.
Ooh, that was really good.
I've been watching film of skinny kid at Iowa. Ah, we were watching CJ.
Oh, I know. I'm telling you, one so you got private workout with CJ Beathard got me a job.
That's right. It's been a good thing for us.
Oh,
it's great thing. I'm proud of you, man.
I appreciate it, John.
Appreciative of everything.
All right, so there is George Kittle. He is happy. He gets $19.1 million. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. There were rumblings a couple of years ago within the walls that maybe George Kittle wouldn't see much longer, wouldn't see a next contract with the 49ers. Had been injury prone to a certain point. That's not really fair to George Kittle to even use that term, because he just plays balls out, pedal to the metal. He plays very, very hard. And what does that do? He gets hurt. This is what he does. So you've seen in the past under John and Kyle that when, and really to a certain extent, no matter how good the player is, if they get hurt a lot, they're just, that's it, man. We can't put up with it. The best ability is availability, especially to the 49ers. So they weren't sure just because of the way that he plays, but they asked him to play that way. That's the irony. Play your ass off, Kittle. Oh, you're hurt too much, Kittle. Or, you know, whoever the player is. So they were, I'm not going to say they soured on him, but at that point I thought, I don't know that he's going to see another contract. Plus, George doesn't have an off switch. And for some people, we know that. There's people that you know that they don't have an off switch. You would think that I don't have an off switch. I do. I have an off switch. But a lot of people, they just don't. And it can grind on people. And so, you know, he's going to be less effective. He doesn't have an off switch. You know, let's see how it goes. He could decline here. He's 30 plus. But you know what? Over the last couple of years, and yet last year specifically, you find out the character of a guy in any sport when you're losing. This 49ers team last year, we all knew it. We all thought it. We're like, okay, this is a Super Bowl contending team. Then they have injury, weirdness, holdouts, hold-ins. And we knew very early that this ain't going to be it. This just ain't going to be it. And so for a player, you could just wrap it up. Look, man, I'm here to win Super Bowls. You know, George Kittle is here to make some more money and, you know, this and that. But he loves the process. He loves football. He could have easily shut it down. This is a guy that plays all out, knick-knack type of injuries, didn't have to be playing, had some stuff going on, and he just kept playing, even though it was very obvious that they weren't going to the playoffs and he could have just shut it down. He didn't. He showed leadership in that way. He was great on the field. He was great off the field. He's like, I don't care. I'm going to play. Played into the last game. Didn't play the second half of the last game, but still, I mean, the dude was like, I'm playing. I'm going to set a tone for this football team. We may be 6-11. We may be long out of the playoffs, but I'm going to keep this going. And he played as hard as he had, and I think he had his best season since been a couple of years. And so he proved to the organization that not only am I a good football player, you knew that I was a great leader, but I took it to the next level is what he did. And so he gets the extension, 30-plus, whatever. George Kittle, I'm not going to say he's good because I hate this game. I hate best of all times. But in terms of blocking and receiving, you're going to have a hell of a hard time finding a better one. I know Gronk is up there because the Patriots won Super Bowls, but he retired a little bit early. Kittle's going to have more catches, yards, the whole nine yards, touchdowns, all those kind of things than Gronkowski. It would be great if George could at least say he's got one of those rings and not none of those rings, but that's just the way it is right now. So if he doesn't get any of those rings, Gronk probably in the eyes of most people is going to be the greatest complete tight end of all time, and there's been a number of them, but you're going to be hard. He's an automatic. He could walk off, and I hope he doesn't, walk off a sidewalk, get hit by a bus today, add nothing more to his resume, and George Kittle's a Hall of Famer right stinking now. He doesn't have to do one more thing. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a walking, talking Hall of Famer is what he is. Afterwards, he's probably going to go into wrestling, whatever the case may be, something high profile. He's a funny guy, as Diana Rossini said there. He's one of the nicest guys in the league. I remember like it was his, I would do post game for the Niners. You know this. I would do post game for the Niners, and then we would at 7 o'clock Pacific time. So we'd get off Niners post game at like 6:58 PM. We'd go right to ESPN radio, Larry Kruger and I, when we would do the national NFL wrap on ESPN radio. So I would go into the locker room and I would grab one guy from offense, one guy from defense for the 49ers for ESPN radio interviews because they were the highest profile guys. A lot of times I'd grab Richard Sherman for like 2 minutes and then I'd go over to Kittle's locker for like 2 minutes. And I had to do it fast because I had to get back to the 49ers post game and I had to send the MP3 over to ESPN, one offensive, one defensive guy that we could use during the show. And they were only about, you know, like I said, maybe four questions, like 2 minute interviews. And so I'm running kind of late and I get a text. I'm pointing my ear like somebody told me this, but I get a text. Hey, we're going on. We got to get you back here. And so Kittle was in a scrum and I didn't want to be a jerk, but I said, hey, dude, I need you for a national, nicest guy ever. And from that point forward, he would always, like, no matter what, in the locker room or whatever, he'd always acknowledge like every time. Hey, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? And just a really cool guy. And that doesn't mean anything to anybody. I understand that. But just a really cool guy who has stayed down to earth. He's a tremendous leader. He loves the organization, all those kind of things. He works really hard. He's just done so much for the organization, for himself, for the brand, for all these kind of things. He's a great guy. Goes on all these different shows. Is a tremendous interview. He's everything that you want out of a football player. And so you want to reward guys not only for what they do on the field, but he has set the tone for this organization. He was drafted in 2017 in their first draft, and you can't think of a better tone setter than when George Kittle has been, because you got to live up to the standards of that guy. You got to live up to the energy of that guy. Good luck. Good stinking luck of staying up to the level of that guy is. From a play standpoint, he does it. He blocks, he catches, he sets a tone, he helps younger players. He's light. He's easy. Like you see all those things. He gets mic'd up in every game because the NFL films is like, please, Kittle, please let us mic you. And he does. And he never disappoints in those kind of things. He's the complete package. And if he doesn't go down as the best all around tight end of all time, it's only because he didn't win a Super Bowl or enough Super Bowls. Because right now, probably the greatest all around, or considered the greatest all around, is probably Gronk. And there's been a lot of good ones. You know, Kelsey can catch the football. Tony Gonzalez is up there. There's a number of guys who've been very, very good. Kellen Winslow, amazing. You know, let's go back a little bit and acknowledge that football didn't start in like 1995. I mean, just amazing tight ends. But you're going to be hard-pressed by the end of George Kittle of not saying that he is one of the greatest. And that's what I'm a fan of. I'm a fan of saying one of the greatest because, again, tight ends I didn't see. Maybe there was better ones, but I didn't see them. And so I can't really comment on them. And there's been a lot of, I mean, the Ditkas and the John Mackeys and all those kind of things. I didn't see him play. So I can't say that they were better, worse, or indifferent. And the tight end position has just blown up through the roof. You know, 70s and 80s that you block. You block. You'll catch a few passes, but generally you block. And then the Kellen Winslows, you know, Winslow came along and all that kind of stuff. And it's just continued to evolve and Tony Gonzalez and all those kind of things. And it's evolved and evolved. But the two-way tight end and what George Kittle does, by the end of this thing, it's going to be hard to keep him out of it. Unless, and this is how we gauge people, if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, then they're going to, he has no rings. Even though, like, okay, the tight end, I'm pretty sure it wasn't his fault, but okay. So give me your thoughts on George Kittle. Very cool to see him there. Very cool to see the Niners get it done. As far as Brock is concerned, and then I'll go out to the comments line and get your thoughts on Kittle and the Niners in general here. As far as Brock is concerned, what this tells me, and the other thing is, you know, I was standing there for Fred Warner last week. They're going to get a deal done. Fred Warner's not holding out. They're getting a deal done for Fred Warner. His deal needs to be redone because his cap number is 29.2 this year and 26.7 the year after. And then his contract is up. They're going to redo Fred's deal as well. And oh, by the way, this is another thing. They can walk and chew gum at the same time. So it doesn't mean because Brock's deal is not done, like the priority is Brock and they got to get Brock done. Well, they're talking to everybody. So Warner's going to get done. He didn't seem bothered at all by this whole thing. So Warner's going to get done. Kittle is done and Brock is going to get done and they're going to get done on time. You can see right now, Kittle's extension that didn't go into July and August. The number one thing I take away from Kittle's deal that you can relate to Brock Purdy's deal is, maybe they've learned their lesson. Maybe they don't want to have all these deals done in August and September, right? I mean, that the problem in life here, sit on my knee, son. Let me tell you something about life. The problem in life, and you tell your kids all the time, is not making mistakes. It's making the same mistake over and over and over and over and over. And that's what drives you crazy. Hey, Niners, let's stop getting Nick Bosa in on September 6th. Let's stop getting Brandon Ayuk in, I don't know, how late is how they did. Let's stop with Trent Williams holding out and waiting to the last minute on that. Most of those deals, Debo, Kittle's deal before this, Warner's deal, all these deals, they'll get done in like July and August during training camp. Can we stop doing that? Could you get guys on in time? If you're going to learn anything from 2024, and it was a disaster, but you learn a lot in disaster in life. Bad things teach you a lot, just like good things teach you a lot in life. And what I think it should have taught you, and it seems like because they got Kittle's done early, taught you was let's not have this. Let's not have things lingering into training camp. Now, maybe they will, but I have a feeling that if they learned anything, we're not going to drag Kittle's thing into training camp. We're going to drag Warner's thing into training camp. We're not going to drag Purdy's thing into training camp. Let's learn a lesson here. 24 was a disaster, and it wasn't just because of the contracts, but it started with Ayuk's contract. Let's get it done. You know, and then it was followed up by Trent holding out. How about let's get it done? Let's get these things done at the appropriate time. Get these guys in, kumbaya for everybody, and let's start off on the right foot. It doesn't mean that you can't have injuries. It doesn't mean freaky things won't happen. It doesn't mean you're not going to go 6-11. But it's like Vegas. It's odds. Odds are that if you get these guys in, things are going to turn out a little bit better. And so maybe they learned that lesson because normally George Kittle's last contract got done. I think it was July 21st, something like that. It was close to training camp, which is fine. You can just say, oh, that's fine. But because he got in before camp, but let's just get it done. Let's not push. So to me, where I put Brock next down there in a question mark, I think that maybe they learned a lesson last year and they should have. As far as the Niners offensive line, that's the thing that everybody's bitching and moaning about. And Kyle said, we stayed true to our board and we didn't reach for an offensive lineman. Okay, I can buy that. I get it. You're saying best player available, even though nobody does best player available. You needed an edge rusher, you drafted one. You needed defensive tackles, you drafted two. You needed, you know, they drafted for need and the best player at that position. It's not just pure, we're going to draft best player available. That just doesn't happen. So let's just throw that fallacy out the window. But okay, you didn't draft an offensive lineman is the point. McKivitz will be your right tackle. Williams will be your left tackle. I guess Brindle's the center. Bartsch maybe is going to be your left guard. I doubt it. Pooney's your right guard. That thing is set in stone. But I told you this before, pipeline, there are different pipelines. There's free agency, obviously. There's the draft. But now that teams drafted linemen, for example, well, does New England have an extra one now that Will Campbell is in there? Do the Jets have one? You check with all these teams now. You know, you drafted a few, you know, Seattle's not going to take your call back. They drafted Gray Zabel 18th, and they have crummy offensive linemen anyway. But the point is that you look at these teams that added in the draft, especially high in the first, you know, one, two, three rounds, that are going to have starters that are going to play over a guy. And then you're calling those teams now going, hey, how much you want for that guy? And we like that guy. Even if it's just a one-year guy, even if it's just a left guard that can compete with Ben Bartsch, who a lot of times we did the Ben Bartsch Memorial inactive list, and he was inactive a lot last year, and that's why it was the Ben Bartsch inactive list, a memorial inactive list. And he was, you know, so you're going to go from inactive to starting at left guard. Maybe he's going to be really, really good. I don't know. But last year, one of the major problems was, and I tell you this all the time, was middle pressure with Banks and Brindle. Middle pressure, and then like third and one, third and two, those short yardage situations, they got stuffed all the time. And so you've got to upgrade there. I don't like Aaron Banks at $77 million. I don't like Brindle, period, even though he's not a bad run blocker. His pass blocking numbers, he was just on his butt way too much and getting pushed back into the quarterback way too much for me. It doesn't seem like they're going to bring in somebody like that, but I'm calling teams now because it's another pipeline way. You just said this the other day, there were 258, 256, something like that in this year's draft. All right, out of that group, let's say 180, maybe that's a little high, 175, 180 guys make rosters. That's probably still high, but that means that many guys are out on the street. So get a jump on some of those guys, call those teams that took linemen in the first few rounds, especially really up high, and see if there's a guy you like on one of those teams. Versatile. They need a versatile offensive lineman. They need a guy who can play tackle and guard. They're missing that. I don't love McKivitz. The Niners like him a lot more than you and I do, so he's going to be the tackle. But is there a guy who can play guard and center? Is the guy who's got a little bit more power? Is there a guy that's got a little more polish? I don't like Brock Purdy behind a first-time starting left guard, a center that gets bullied way too much in the middle, and I like Dominic Pooney. But that offensive line's not scaring anybody. What do the Niners want to do? They want to bully you, really. I mean, I know for all the fancy stuff Kyle Shanahan does, at the end of the day, they want to bully you. They want to go 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and that's not an offensive line that can get it done, not at this particular point. So that's what I would say about the 49ers O-line. One more thing about the Niners, and then I'll get out to what you're saying. And again, Kittle, the big story today. But I saw this today. So this is The Athletic, and I'm not big into power rankings. You know that. I don't really care, but this is kind of interesting to me because so they put the first round pick up, and then with that first round pick, they put the power rank for that team after the draft. So Mikel Williams, okay, but 22, that 22 for the 49ers represents where The Athletic has them ranked in the league at this particular time. So, and then they just do an analyst on the draft. Took defenders the first 5 picks, one of the biggest edge rushers, blah, blah, blah. Followed up in the second round, one of the biggest humans on the planet, 6'6", 332, Alfred Collins. Sneaky name to watch, and I told you this yesterday, Jordan James. I think he's going to be the second, back. Guerrero's still got a lot of work to do. I like Guerrero. There's a place for him, but with McCaffrey coming off an injury, Jordan James is a nice player. If you watch Oregon football this year, nice player. Not LaMichael James. Bust. But Jordan James, he's a nice player. But 22nd is where they have the 49ers. By the way, if you go to NFL.com, I didn't bring this up, I don't think. No, I didn't. I didn't pop this one up in my pictures today. The comp for Alfred Williams on NFL.com by Lance Zierlein is Javon Kinlaw. Ugh. But I said that. 6'6", 332, couldn't get his pads down. And that's kind of the issue with Collins. He's a massive human being, but at 6'6", I'd rather have a guy be 6'1", 6'2", inside. You know, 6 foot, like Aaron Donald kind of thing, because you can't get under their pads. 6'6", it's like you stand up, pushed you back. You're on skates, like Kinlaw was so much. So it's not that I don't like Collins. Let's see. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt here, but 6'6" inside is tough to deal with. And you're 332, so you're not screaming off the edge. So, but they have the Niners 22nd. And you know what? To be honest, I love that kind of stuff. Yeah, I love when a team is underrated, and I think with their schedule, they're underrated. They're not the 22nd best team in the NFL. So they've got him at 22. I think they're better than that. I think the schedule alone gets them better than that. Do I love the draft? I told you, I don't do draft grades. I don't love it, but we'll see. We'll see. Those guys know a lot more than me. We'll see. Nick Martin, I'm excited about the Oklahoma State running back. Collins, I'm a little iffy on. I like C.J. West. It could be one of those situations where you remember the Niners take the running back later in the rounds, and he's better than the running back they took early in the rounds. I actually like C.J. West better than I do Alfred Collins, but we'll see. Plus, right away in the media press conference, I was like, I hate quarterbacks. I'm like, dude, we're going to get along just fine, you and I. So that's the Niners side of things. Before I hit a couple of remnants and hit you up with a couple of Giants things, let me check out what's going on with everybody. Please, let's see, right there. Please like and subscribe to both channels, John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective. Please give us that like button. That will help the algorithm and help people find us. Hello, Papa J. Thanks for saying that every time you come in. I appreciate it. Very nice. 330 pounds. All you have to do is fall over and block the run. Yeah, I mean, it does sound simplistic, but yet Javon Kinlaw came in with all that hype and the long arms and the big weight, and he was tall, and the first thing he did was stand up, and the second thing he did was get pushed back like he was on roller skates. Go watch the NFC Championship game against Philly. I mean, it was just like, ugh. And so then I saw that. I saw the comp. It was the comp was Javon Kinlaw. I was like, oh no. Yeah, I hope not, Joji. Kyle's arrogant that his scheme will override any O-line deficiencies, which puts Brock's health at risk. What they do is they empower coaches, is what Kyle Shanahan does. He empowers Robert Saleh. That's why I hope that Clay Kubiak has say on the offense, because I said this before the offseason. Kyle can get stale sometimes in his play calling, especially in the red zone. And I wanted somebody that he trusted, a new voice, a new set of eyes, kind of like when Mike McDaniel was here, to look at it and go, you know, we've run that a lot, or we're becoming predictable, or this or that, or let's get a little more aggressive here or there. Look, Kyle has final say on what they do offensively and on play calling, all those things. He's still calling the plays, but I'd like to have another set of eyes in the room, and Clay Kubiak is that. He empowers him. He empowers the special teams coach, whether you like it or not. Like this last offseason when Brian Schneider, last season when Brian Schneider was so bad, he empowers the guy, and then he does what he does. So Chris Forster is their offensive line coach. He's been doing this a long time. And the 49ers, because Chris Forster is who he is and they respect him and they let him do his job, is that they don't draft offensive linemen high. They just don't. Mike McGlinchey was a number 9 overall pick, didn't get to a second contract. I don't think that scared him away. I think if Will Campbell had been there at 11, he'd be the pick over Mikel Williams. Now, maybe not. I could be 100% wrong. But you don't want to start a rookie left tackle, which is what they're on the verge of doing if Trent Williams leaves this offseason. I don't know who the offseason, what offensive linemen, what offensive tackles are free agents, but I tell you this about free agency all the time. They're flawed, whoever it is. They're either overpaid, old, injured, a problem off the field, they have some issue or something like that. It's just perfect players don't make it to free agency. They just don't. Perfect players don't. Like Drew Brees made it to free agency. He had a bad rotator cuff. And Miami and Nick Saban was in the league at the time, and then he went to New Orleans. And you'd think, looking back at it, that Drew Brees would be the perfect guy. Like, what does Drew Brees not do? He's a great leader. He's one of the best passers of all time. He's a Hall of Famer. He's this, that, and the other. At the time, he had a really bad rotator cuff. So perfect players don't make it to free agency. It was a godsend that you go from Joe Staley to Trent Williams. That just never happens. That's just pure luck. That's football gods going, okay, like they'll do that. You know, okay, you got one of those. We're not giving you another one. You got to get out of free jail card because you didn't want your quarterback to get killed, but we're not doing that for you again. Football gods are like, sorry, we did it once. So, yeah, it's an issue that they didn't go out the offensive line, and I get what Kyle said. He said that the right guys weren't there when we picked. I get it. I really do. But then what you've got to do is you've got to look into making a trade or free agency or something so that you can get some more offensive line depth, because right now I would agree with you. I don't love what he's behind in the middle, the left guard center combination. That means there's going to be push in the middle. Brock is barely 6'1", and there's going to be more problems. They've got to shore that up. And the offseason is not over, so I'm not going to freak out over it. All right, what else do we got? There are three plays. I know this for a fact, two and sometimes three plays that Brock can call at the line of scrimmage. So he allows it. It's just, I think what Brock does is he trusts Kyle Shanahan. I mean, that's just kind of what it is. That's why Kyle likes these kind of quarterbacks. Like, I've told you this a million times, not that it ever even came close to fruition, but Aaron Rodgers was never coming here. The reason why Tom Brady didn't come here is I think Kyle Shanahan is you know, just didn't want to deal with the ego. I mean, look at the quarterbacks that Kyle has coached in the league. Tell me the ego one. RG3, they didn't get along. Matt Schaub's not really that way. I mean, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's a really, really good quarterback, but he's not really that way. It's going to scream and yell and be all those kind of things. That's just not Kyle. Kyle wants the offense run the way he sees it. And how he looks at a play is whether it was successful or was a failure. Did it get the maximum amount of production that it was supposed to get? That's how he works. It's just what it is. Yes, bottom of the pint for sure on Friday with Krug. For sure this Friday. I haven't talked to Krug, but I'm thinking so. I was in Vegas, as you know, and there was a draft. And I would have done it from Vegas still. That would have been amazing. But I kind of took the draft show and did that instead. But as far as I know, bottom of the pint. That was just a rare occasion in which the draft was going on. Krug got a bunch of stuff in the draft and all that kind of stuff. Say good morning to the East Coast, Red and Gold podcast. Good friends of mine. Go Niners. That's a huge story on Kittle, by the way. There you go. I really like Collins, really like West. West is listed, I'm going to do this off the top of my head, 6'2", 317. He looks like a fire hydrant. And then they did the interview with him, and I popped in on that. I mean, dude is just like football, 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 hate quarterbacks, football, 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 like eats football. And I like that. And it's not that I don't think Alfred Collins could be good. Played at a big-time program at Texas. Just I see the comp, and he's 6'6", and he's playing inside. And it's just really hard. I mean, it's your technique has to be so good because the minute you stand up, remember, the offense, the tackles outside, they're the guys who are 6'6", 6'7", 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". The guys inside, not all of them, but some of these guards are down there at like 6'2", 6'3", 6'1", centers like that, and they're just going to get under your pads and they're going to root you out, you know, if they have good technique. And if you're 6'6" and you go up high, you're going backwards, man. I didn't make the rules. What else before we get some Giants here? And again, big time stuff today in episode 128. Warriors beat Houston 109-106, went through all that. You can see on the chalkboard, George Kittle is the huge story of the day. He signs a contract extension, 4 years with the 49ers, 19.1 per season, 40 million up front. And George Kittle will remain a 49er. And he had an amazing season last year. He's going to go down in history. He's going to be on that Mount Rushmore that I hate. He's going to be debated with the greatest of all time, which I hate. Right now, Gronk, probably the best all-around tight end of all time just because of the Super Bowl rings. George Kittle, when all is said and done, will have better numbers. It's just, will he ever get a ring? But it's great news that the 49ers keep George Kittle, and it's great news that they're not waiting to the last minute. And I think if there's any positive in the Brock Purdy negotiations, it's that maybe, just maybe, they learned a lesson. How about we don't do all this stuff last minute? And I think that Brock Purdy could be on the verge. Fred Warner didn't seem to be alarmed at all about restructuring his contract. So these things are all going to get done. For all the negative stuff of the offseason, and I get it, the key things of Kittle now, Brock Purdy, I think shortly thereafter, and Fred Warner at some point too, are all going to get done. So those are all good things. All right, what else before I hit a couple of things on the Giants that I think are kind of interesting as they get ready for the Padres, the Fathers tonight. Gronk, Kelsey, Winslow, Newsom, Kittle, great call on Ozzie Newsom. Kellen Winslow, and let's make sure we say this, senior, not junior, he's a problem. Kellen Winslow, senior, obviously. Kelsey's very good. Gronk, yeah, that's a damn good list. That's a damn good list. I would throw Tony Gonzalez on there. Tony Gonzalez is a freak. Yeah, absolutely. Throw Tony Gonzalez on there, and I think we got a winner there. And like I said, I can't speak to Mike Ditka. I can't speak to John Mackey. I'm trying to think some of the other great ones, but that's a pretty damn good list. Pretty damn good list. And I didn't put Ozzie Newsome on mine. And in his prime, he was so good. I got to think of some other tight ends. I think so. And there were some good ones. Ben Coates. Remember Ben Coates of the Patriots? He wore 87 before Gronk. He was really good. Not that level, but he was really good. All right, what else do we have? Yeah, Ditka. I mean, if you look back at the black and white stuff that Ditka did, like, it was just like, and he had the kicker face mask, he had the single bar. He just trucked dudes. Trucked dudes. That was badass. Let's see, Glenn started a Giants pod, had his first show last night. Very nice. I talked to Glenn. See, they don't tell me anything around here anymore. I talked to Glenn on home opener. I sat next to Glenn, probably talked to him for 30 minutes. And we were going back and forth on the virtues of podcasting and YouTube shows. And I was very complimentary to both. I was like, dude, whoa. This is big news. I don't know if you think this is big news. I think this is big news. It's media related. Today marks the end of a 15-year run covering the Raiders, Vic Tafer says. I'm returning to the Bay Area and writing about the 49ers with The Athletic with Matt Barrels. Raiders players, coaches, and fans are never dull. And man, there were some stories. The beat is in great hands. Thanks to Sean Reed. Yeah, he does a great job with it. But Vic Tafer. Vic Tafer is one of my favorites. I'm going to hit him up. Vic Tafer is an awesome guy. And so he's leaving Vegas. Today marks the end of a 15-year run covering the Raiders. Geez, Vic started covering the Raiders about when I got here. I'm returning to the Bay Area. Get that checkbook out, Vic. Hopefully they were paying you big time. And I'm writing about the 49ers with The Athletic and with Matt Barrels. If you're not following Vic Tafer, I'm going to see if I can get Vic on. If you're not following Vic Tafer, he is a great follow, and Vic Tafer is a great beat writer. We are all better for Vic Tafer coming to cover the 49ers. So Vic Tafer and Matt Barrows are going to cover the Niners because David Lombardi went over, and he's with the SF Standard with Tim Kawakami, so they needed a guy to cover the Niners, and Vic is great. So Vic Tafer and Matt Barrows will be your Athletic 40 guys to cover the 49ers. Vic is awesome. If you don't know Vic, not only is he a great beat writer, he's an awesome guy, and that's good. Very cool, man. Very cool. Like I said, it's media related, so whatever. Todd Christensen, what a great call that is, Mark. So Todd and I were friends when I worked in Utah. Unfortunately, he has passed, speaking of Raiders. And yeah, what a great tight end he was. And he had a reputation with people because he just said what he thought. Todd Christensen would be on every ESPN show right now. And he wasn't a bullshitter. He wasn't fake like Screaming A is or like Kendrick Perkins is or like a lot of these guys are. It's just Todd Christensen said what he thought, and he rubbed a lot of people the wrong way about it. But I was friends with Todd Christensen. I did shows with him in Salt Lake City on many occasions. He was our NFL insider. We did NFL stuff, and he would come on with me weekly. Todd Christensen was a great guy, even though a lot of people he rubbed the wrong way. He was a bit of I don't know, maybe an elitist or something, but he just called guys out. You know, he was good on TV, I thought. He just called guys out. If he didn't like something, called him out. Boy, these are some great names. You guys are crushing it. Russ Francis, especially when he was with the Pats. Antonio Gates, how could I forget that? Good call, Fozzie. Antonio Gates was absolutely great. And he started that whole thing about, you know, basketball players becoming football players. Just badass. And like I said, Ditka was absolutely great. Who else are we missing? Who else are we missing on that front? Pretty good. That's a pretty good list, though. But yeah, Kittle's going to be on that list. By the way, I hope he's not Kinlaw, the 1-4-20. I hope he's not. I'm just saying that's what NFL.com put in their comp of him. In fact, I'll just, rather than trying to be all fancy and send it over to you, this is what scared the hell out of me today. Let me look at this. Let me see here. Oh, let me go to my photos. Don't know if I can, I got to make sure I'm not showing you certain photos here. But right here. Here, let's see if we can get this close enough to you so I don't have to send it. I'm gonna probably spill something. Is that, can we even see that? Yeah, see that right there? Round two, Javon Kinlaw. That's Alfred Collins' comp, according to NFL.com. I was like, oh no. Adam Peters still believes him because he got him, gave him a bunch of money with Washington. Yes, I did know this, Kyle. Pauly Mack was in Vegas at the same time as you. Yeah, he went to see the Dead at Sphere. I've seen you too at Sphere. I really wanted to see the Eagles at Sphere, but that's probably not happening. But yeah, I knew Pauly Mack was there. And I mean, this doesn't count and is really stupid, but I'm going to say it anyway. So I was out in the Henderson area. I was doing some business and doing some things out there. And a friend of mine who I later met with, so Pauly had lunch with a friend of mine. And then that friend came out and met me for happy hour. So that person was very happy because they did lunch and happy hour, but they literally were just like, I was just with Pauly Mack and now I'm talking to you. So person that used to be in the Bay Area and we both met, but yeah, I knew that Pauly was there. And actually I stayed on the strip, as you know, I stayed on the strip and I forgot where Pauly was staying, but it was close, but we didn't see each other, which, you know, what else do we have? Anything else on the 49ers today? Again, good day that George Kittle is signing. It's good day that Kittle is signing early, and I take that as a positive sign on the negotiations with Brock Purdy. But I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. All right, what else do we have here? All right, let's do this. Quickly on the Giants. All right, they play the Pods today. They play the Padres. Big series. I don't care if it's early in the season. This is a big series. Let me do this. Let me share my screen with you really, really, really quickly. If I can find this, that would be outstanding. Am I going to be able to find this? Do I have the probables? Oh, there we go. There are your probables for this series. So Nick Pivetta is having a great year. I mean, he's just kind of a journeyman, 32-year-old guy, and he's having a tremendous year. So this is going to be a good pitching matchup tonight. Logan Webb with his 198. Landon Roop, two starts before the last one was very, very good. Michael King is solid. So those are the first two. Is there a – there's got to be a update on this one, right? We have a third, don't we? No. Okay. I see. This is just a two-game set. I got you. Okay. All right, there's the Giants side thing. That's not what I wanted to show you, though. Look at this. So ESPN did this thing. I told you right at the beginning of the show, and then we'll jump out of here. ESPN did this bit, and 40 games is really what you're looking at. Then the Giants are 19-10, so we're a little short on this. But they did a thing, and they categorized some players as all-star, worth watching, and disappointment. All-star, worth watching, disappointment. And they didn't do it by team. Not every team had guys in here. So all-star, worth watching, disappointment. The Giants had two worth watchings, no all-stars. This guy's an all-star. Come on. Jung-Hoo Lee to this point. It's only 29 games. I get it. Cut short, 37 games. But so far in 29, Lee is showing all the all-around skills that made him the best player in Korea. He's an all-star. I mean, dude's hitting like 330, scoring a ton of runs, hitting third in the Giants lineup. Giants are one of the highest scoring teams in the league, which is crazy. And Jung-Hoo Lee has got a great glove in center field. So to me, and I haven't looked at the other positions, I'm not saying he's the best center fielder in the game. I'm saying he's their best player. They've got the, second best record in the National League behind the Mets, I think, or somewhere in there. He's an all-star. So it's just player to watch. So, again, it goes all-star, player to watch, and disappointment. Another player to watch, and this is absolutely huge, is Randy Rodriguez. Typical fastball slider reliever has yet to allow a run or a walk as he has moved into a key setup role for the Giants. If this guy can keep it going in the bullpen, and it goes Rodriguez, Duvall, Walker, or they reverse that depending on how things, I still have a lot of faith in Walker, but those three guys at the end, and I keep saying this, but you might mix in as your long guy Hicks at some point because Birdsong is just that good. Your pitching staff is cooking with gas at this point. And then I'm not upset with Willie Adames just yet. But it says right here, blah, 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 blah. Adames has no excuse. $182 million deal. Has been bad at the plate and even worse in the field. He has. And that's a major, major problem. With the worst defensive metrics of any shortstop. It's only been a month, but Adames was always a risky signing. The power should eventually land. But if the defense doesn't turn around, the Giants will have a shortstop problem. I'm not panicking. But there's no lies in there. He hasn't hit well. I think he will. One of the things about and Jorge Soler, and I thought the park got into Jorge Soler's head, and he couldn't hit in this park, and he struggled in this park. And, you know, he's fishing, obviously, for a lot of pitches out of the zone last year. And I just think mentally it got to Jorge Soler, and I hope it doesn't get that way with Willie Adames, because the park can be intimidating. But he's a right-handed hitter. He shouldn't be staring at Triple's Alley. I know he can spray it all over, but I don't think he's at that point. Between the two things, clearly defense is a much bigger issue to me because, you know, a guy like Logan Webb, that's a ground ball pitcher. And as I've told you, as I look around the diamond, you've got you've got a gold glove catcher. In Chapman, you have a gold glove third baseman. Tyler Fitzgerald's an above average athlete, so should be good at second. Lamont Wade isn't long for first base anyway. Yaz is an above average gold glove caliber right fielder. Jung-Hoo Lee is a gold glove caliber center fielder. Elliot Ramos is above average in left. Just don't put him in center. But as a corner outfielder, he can be adventurous at times, but he can be very solid. So across the board, your weakness defensively, and you can't have a weakness here, is at shortstop. And we just saw Brandon Crawford, beautiful suit over the weekend. We just saw Brandon Crawford, and we almost took for granted having a solid defensive shortstop. And I like Willie Adames. And I'm not where ESPN is in terms of saying, you know, even speculating that's a bad contract, because I don't think it is. But still, it's scary when you see those kind of situations that he's just not getting it done. He's not picking it short. And that's not good. Because at some point during this seven-year, $182 million contract, does Adames have to become a second baseman? Does Adames have to become a DH? Like, he's not a good shortstop. He has not been a good shortstop. And his metrics have not been this bad ever. So do you have to go back in and be like, damn, I got to get another shortstop and I got to move to Adames, you know, I got to move Adames to second now because he can't handle short? That was the whole point. I don't want to give $182 million to a second baseman. I want to give $182 million to a shortstop, and I want him to fix the problem, both offensively and defensively. So I'm not where ESPN is. I'm not even bringing up the contract. The only reason I am is because they did. I wouldn't normally do that. I don't think we're at that point. It bears watching. We're 29 games into his contract as a Giant. Not going to panic on that. But I get it. I get if you had to write about a disappointment at shortstop, he's been the one. Because it's both sides. It's offense, which will come around, and it's defense, which is concerning. Concerning is the word that I'll use there. So there you go. All right, any more thoughts today? An exciting show today. Having Jimmy Butler do what he did, having George Kittle sign the contract. I think that's great news for Brock Purdy and how quickly they're going to get that deal done. Giants taking on the A's. Great matchup. Nick Pivetta is a veteran, but he's pitched really well this year against Logan Webb. So that's a quality game. And then we're going to watch a bunch of NBA tonight. And I would like to, I know this is weird to say, I would like the Lakers series to get extended. Does it mean I'm rooting for the Lakers? I'm not going to put it that way, but I'd like the series to be extended so the Warriors can win the series and get extra rest. That's what I'm saying. All right. So I'm not rooting for anybody. What else do we got? Bring back Belt and Craw. Yeah. Where is Belt right now? Where is Brandon Belt? I know he was off last year, but he can't possibly be as bad as, although he was near the end of the line there. Was it the ankles that were giving him all the trouble? He couldn't move anymore. Well, yeah, it's going to be a warm game. That's going to be a really warm game. Like I said, I told you, I went to the park for you. I went to Sutter Health Park for you, the Sweet Clean viewer and listener, and I had a good time there. You know, I don't know that if I was a player, I'd want to play there all the time, but I had a good time. Easy parking. They were major league prices, and that is going to be toasty. That's going to be toasty in July. Yeah, I get you. I get you if you're a Giants fan and you're feeling that way. He's got to get it going, but we're still in April. The season begins in April. We're still in April. And if players had, you know, April is always magnified. If players have a bad June, July, August, I mean, I'm saying individual months in the middle of the season, people don't notice as much. But April, we always do. Like, oh, he's off to a terrible start. Yeah, if Adames was off to a great start and had a bad July, we wouldn't know nearly as much. We just wouldn't pay as much attention. So bad April, always get on guys. He's got plenty of time. But defensively, he's got to get that thing together. You got to stabilize that infield for this pitching staff. And you cannot give extra outs. That's just a fact. What else do we got today? Yeah, it's only a two-game series. Weird, huh? Padres only a two-game series. That stinks. I want to see them. Although, you know, playing the Rockies, what are they, 4-23 or something? My God. How would it be if you were a fan of a team and they were out of it in the first month? Like, I mean, it's not even close. Like, just give us the first pick already. I don't know that they should have baseball in Colorado. I know they went it to the, what, 07 World Series? They've been bad for so long. It's just ridiculous. Just ridiculous. And nobody wants to sign there. Like, draft pitching to your blue in the face. It doesn't matter. I mean, it's just, that's a bad place for baseball. I don't care. Oh, okay. Average temp is 84 in July. Should be cool. If it's a night game, still a minor league park, you do get up close. It is nice. It is. It is. It's not bad at all. I hope the Giants keep winning. The Warriors have to end the series and get some rest. I agree 100% on that. This two big, like I said, it's only two games, but it's kind of a big series. Could go down to a couple with the Padres. And not only that, it's tiebreakers. And obviously win. So there you go. I just gave you some great insight there. Anything else we've got today? Padres going down. I hope so. All right. Had a good time today. Thank you so much for everything. We've been about an hour and 34 today, but I think we got everything done in a nice fashion. Again, episode 128. Golden State 109, Houston 106. They lead 3-1. Pods and Buddy give them the credit. Playoff Jimmy, 4 points in the first half, 23 in the second. They need game five, however you want to call it. Not a must win, but get some rest. T-Wolves next. We'll find out soon. Kittle's now the highest paid tight end, 19.1 on average. $40 million bucks goes into his account. NFL insiders told you about that, Brock, next. I think that is a good sign that they get this thing done that early. Maybe they learned a lesson from last year. I think they should have. 49ers O-line, that is certainly a concern, but there are other pipeline ways to bring some guys in, and I expect them to do that. Power ranks, at least The Athletic has them 22nd. I learned, too, that Vic Tafer's coming to cover the 49ers, which is very cool news. Giants and Padres gave you that stuff with Randy Rodriguez on the positive and Jung-Hoo Lee and Willie Adames on the negative side of things. That's not the greatest thing ever there. Let me just throw one thing up there because our good friends, and I want to make sure that we talk about this because this is really, really cool. What's going on here? Is this it right here? That's right. My good friends, that's how we start the show. Reappell Sports Medicine, that stem cell treatment that I'm always telling you about. I told you this yesterday. My wife and I walking around Vegas could have never done that last weekend if for not Dr. Reappell. And she said that. She actually said, Dr. Reappell right now is the only reason I'm walking around. Did a ton of walking down in Vegas, of course, like you do. Stem cell treatments, 925-275-9333. Stem cell treatments with Dr. Jeffrey Reappell. I tell you about him, but it's my wife who is feeling so great right now. She's got the shoulder, the elbow. She's not icing as much. I told you we got that mini freezer in the garage. She's not using that thing hardly at all, but it was her foot over the weekend in Las Vegas because we just normally couldn't do that kind of stuff. And I'm doing it this week, actually. What's today? Tuesday? I think tomorrow. I'm going back in. It's been a while. And just did the blood test. Going to do a short procedure. And then I'm back to my normal self again. And you need to do that as well. I have done the testosterone treatments, the low T treatments for a long time. Nothing compares to Dr. Reappell and what he does. You're going to feel better and you're not going to have to go in every week and take a shot. Just every 4 months you do that. So like 3 times a year, quick procedure. You're in and out of there and you're feeling like yourself. Check out Dr. Reappell for both those procedures, and they do much more. They don't just do those procedures. So check them out for low T that I do. And for my wife, she's doing the stem cell, but they do all sorts of other procedures. So check out Dr. Reappell in San Ramon, R-O-R-I-O-P-E-L-L-E, Dr. Reappell, and check them out for not only that, but all sorts of great things that they do. Find sponsor of the program, and please make sure that you look them up and check them out. And like I said, if you're in the East Bay, it's a no-brainer. If you're not, you're thinking to yourself, do I drive over there? Absolutely. Make the appointment today. You're going to feel a ton better. So there you go. All right, anything else before I jump out of here? Dave Casper, nice call. Who did that? Frank. The ghost of the post. Nice job, Frank. Very nice. Later, Lundholics. Very cool. Dave, I'm glad we got Dave Casper in there at the last minute. What was I thinking? There's been so many good Niner tight ends, too. Vernon Davis wasn't a bad one. I'm not saying he's an all-time great, but he was the New Orleans game. Yes, please. All right. Everybody have a great Tuesday edition. Like I said, keep those alerts on. Maybe Brock signs. Hell, Kittle then Brock. Could happen. Any kind of alerts, any kind of news, any big stuff, I'll make sure that we're right back here. Please make sure that you have your alerts on, that you're subscribed. And please, before you get out of here, give us a like on John Lund Unleashed and the Bay Area Sports Collective. Thanks for watching on X today as well, at John Lund Radio, and Instagram as well, at John Lund Radio there. Twitch, we were live today, LinkedIn, and on Facebook as well. Everybody have a tremendous day. Thanks for making the time for John Lund Unleashed. Make sure 8 a.m. weekdays Pacific time. We are here Monday through Friday. Saturdays at 10 a.m. and as needed, we'll throw out the bat signal. Thanks to everybody. Have a great day. Stay with Bay Area Sports Collective. Paulie's coming up shortly. I just got to double check. I heard that there's a new podcast. I have not been told anything because they don't tell me anything. So I will confirm or deny that. You can do that. Check out my social media at John Lund Radio on X, and I will let you know. All right. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 8 a.m. unless something breaks. Everybody have a tremendous
Thanks for hanging out with John Lund Unleashed. We'll try to be better next time, though I wouldn't hold my breath. Please like and subscribe on the John Lund Unleashed Pod YouTube channel. Watch live shows weekdays at 8 a.m. on YouTube, Instagram, and X. And make sure to have your alerts on for shows throughout the day or night. All things Lund can be found at johnlundunleashed.com. johnlundunleashed.com.
Goodbye!